This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A top European Union trade official says Europe seriously wants a trade agreement with the United States. However, EU political leaders still won't negotiate on significant agricultural policies. Bernard Lange is the chair of the European Parliament's Committee on International Trade. He was in Washington last week to talk to lawmakers and the Trump administration of officials. Reporters continued to question him about the U.S. demands that the EU reduce its ag tariff and non-tariff barriers to U.S. farm commodities. Quote, on agriculture, everyone knows that this is not possible, Lange says. Lange was in the nation's capital to try and kickstart the stalled trade talks. While visiting with staff in Senator Chuck Grassley's office, the staff members told Lange that, quote, agriculture should be in any deal, unquote. Lange's response was a simple one, quote, it's not possible. An AgriPulse report says that is the opposite of what EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan had said during a recent visit to the U.S. Hogan had told reporters that Europe was considering taking a more flexible approach on its refusal to include agriculture in trade talks with the U.S. The EU will soon be busy as formal trade talks with the United Kingdom are set to begin today. The Canadian Federation of Agriculture held their annual general meeting in Ottawa this past week. Dennis Guy has more from Canada.
In the wake of recent railway blockades by Indigenous protesters joined by non-Indigenous activists, Canada's largest general farm organization is calling for decisive action from the federal government. Canadian Ag Federation President Mary Robinson says farmers and agribusiness are reaching a tipping point after 3 weeks of rail, road, and shipping transportation disruptions on the heels of a CN rail workers' strike earlier this winter.
The widespread collateral damage of these protests is grinding our entire industry to a halt. Canadian agriculture is quickly reaching a tipping point. We certainly are at a point where our nation should be concerned that our government show leadership and investment to ensure that our agriculture resource is properly shored up.
Blockade actions are winding down, but freight car backlogs in rail yards and in shipping ports on both Canadian coasts are sluggish. CN Rail Vice President Sean Finn explains that a national transportation system does not immediately return to normal after 3 weeks of disruption.
Very much focusing on getting the cycle times back up and the grain cars back to the prairies to be loaded and recover our backlog. The Canadian economy is relying on us, and we're a trading nation, so to get these goods to Vancouver to be exported, but also into the U.S. coming from the east, it's going to take some time, and in the east will take longer. It could be, you know, it'll be weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, if not a month, to fully catch up.
Canadian Ag Federation President Mary Robinson told delegates and politicians that agribusiness needs reliable transportation for both domestic and global markets. Robinson said it's not just inconvenient slowdowns that are at play here. Hundreds of tons of perishable food goods were left to spoil as train cars sat idle.
I received phone calls from apple farmers as their ready-for-market apples sit in rail cars, slowly rotting. We cannot continue to have our livelihoods held hostage every time a group wants to put pressure on government. These interruptions also greatly affect Canada's ability to be a reliable and trusted trading partner.
Along with outbound Canadian shipment schedules, requisite inputs are also a major concern. One of the biggest worries is the delivery and supply of propane by rail. Many depend on propane as their primary power and heat source.
We do know that 85% of the propane moves by rail. We know that our trucking sector is severely stressed, and now there are further demands on them. As far as how long it will go on, it's difficult to answer that question as we've never been to this point before.
So, while Canada's transportation blockades are winding down, their effects are far from over. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
Moving on now into news here from the United States. U.S. chicken companies are running production at a high rate right now, sparking a glut of production on the market and sending prices for products like breast meat to record lows. Yahoo Finance says despite that, the industry might see a bright 2020 ahead. That's thanks in part to the chicken sandwich craze that seems to be sweeping America's fast food restaurants. Joe Sanderson Jr. is CEO of Sanderson Farms Incorporated. He says the sandwich war among fast food chains could end up being an unofficial bailout that oversupplied U.S. poultry industry needs. As an example, Popeyes quickly ran out of its new chicken sandwich when they were first launched nationwide last August. Even though the overall poultry industry faces a glut, supplies of the smaller chickens between 4 and 5 pounds is running short. Poultry buyers are turning to processors like Sanderson Farms to take a larger portion and cut them down to sandwich size. U.S. chicken farmers continue to produce more meat. Egg sets and chick placements are trending 4% higher than last year already. The USDA and the poultry industry is set to produce a record 45.3 billion pounds of broiler meat this year. Moving on into other U.S. news, farmers and landowners have until March 16th to make two important risk management decisions. As Todd Gleason reports, depending on which federal safety net program coverage is used, there may be a secondary crop insurance option. Todd Gleason has more with Doug Yoder of Country Financial.
Those farms enrolled in PLC, the price loss coverage option, are open to SCO, or supplemental coverage option, under the crop insurance plans. If PLC, then SCO. Wheat producers are likely familiar with SCO. It's been around for a while. However, corn and soybean producers have not generally had the option to sign up for SCO, says Doug Yoder from Country Financial, because they have mostly used the Ark County Farm Safety Net.
This is extra crop insurance coverage. Crop insurance users can consider adding on top of their farm level coverage. It was first made available in the 2014 Farm Bill, and it's been reauthorized in the 2018 Farm Bill, and it's only available to those farms that select PLC starting in 2020 and beyond. Now, even though it's tied to your Farm Bill selection with FSA, it's still extra crop insurance, so you would buy it from your crop insurance agent if you do want it.
Well, SCO is county-level coverage and begins to make payments when county yields or revenue are 14% less than average.
Since this is county-based crop insurance coverage, it's going to operate very similarly to what we call Ag-Risk Protection, ARP, what used to be known as GRIP as far as county-based crop insurance use. However, there is no protection level or multiplier such as county-level policies do have. It's available for all counties in Illinois for corn, beans, and wheat, and it simply matches what you purchase. For example, if you buy revenue protection like most Illinois farmers do, that's farm-level revenue protection. If you add SCO on top of that, you'd be getting extra county-level revenue coverage. Kicks in at 86%, as I mentioned, matches your underlying protection, and it simply goes down to your level of protection.
Meaning those buying 85% crop insurance could buy 1% more coverage at the county level via SCO. If the underlying policy is 75%, then there would be an 11% SCO addendum to the policy. There is an expensive caveat here. Farmers signed up for ARC are not eligible for SCO coverage. What that means is pretty simple. Don't take SCO crop insurance on ARC farms. That is actually possible, and if it does happen, USDA will cancel the SCO plan and charge the farmer 60% of the original SCO premium. I'm Todd Gleason.
Moving on now to state ag news here on your Monday. In Illinois, thousands of members of the FFA last week took part in school activities that focused on ag education and the impact that agriculture has on the Illinois economy. Republican State Representative Darren Bailey took time on the State House floor to recognize the work of the FFA.
As you've heard many times on this House floor, agriculture is the number one industry in Illinois, and ag education has a long, rich history in our state with many career opportunities in agriculture and horticulture. FFA provides a number of career and leadership training programs for our children and grandchildren, with over 70% of FFA graduating seniors going on to college.
More members of the FFA will be at the state capitol tomorrow during Ag Legislative Day. Hundreds of students in blue jackets will fan out across the Capitol, handing out baskets full of Illinois agricultural products. In other state ag news, and more local news, actually, U.S. Representative Rodney Davis announced on Friday that Schramm City has received a $25,000 federal grant for the purchase of a new dump truck with a snowplow. The funding comes from the Community Facilities Direct Loans and Grants Program through the USDA Rural Development Program. The grant will replace a 30-year-old truck in Schramm City that has relied upon to do critical public works operation, according to Davis. In the winter, it is incredibly important for public safety for a small rural community to have the ability to clear roads of snow and ice. The rural development investment will be used to purchase a 2019 Chevy dump truck with a snowplow. This truck will replace a 1990 Ford that is no longer operable and in need of extensive repairs. The truck will be utilized to maintain village property that will provide an essential community service to the residents of Schramm City. Moving on now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board, 641 here on your Monday morning. The Highland FFA chapter will be holding a used oil drive at the Highland Junior High parking lot. That's coming up on this Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. It'll go to support the Green for Life initiative. And if you have more, if you need more information, rather, about the used oil drive on Saturday, you can contact the Highland High School Ag Department. And that'll wrap it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any Ag news for us or anything for the Ag Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, March 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.